Tonight I would just like to have a very simple look at the gospel message in relation to who God is and how that reflects on man's relationship with God. And I've got three God is's. God is eternal, God is holy, and God is love. First of all, we'll look at God is eternal. I've got a number of scriptures which I'm going to quote this evening now. I'm going to start with Psalm 145, verse 13. And it says, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." God is eternal. The Bible begins in Genesis with God created the heavens and the earth, and ends with God on the throne in Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." We look at a period of time up into the present, and it's incomplete. It's like a picture that's only half done, or a race that's only half run. But God sees both the beginning and the end of all things. He sees the picture and it's complete. A friend of mine used to talk about the story of some of the stories in the Old Testament we read of people. And we look at them and we can see that both their beginning and their end. And we can see their outcome. You think of the thought that must have gone through Daniel's mind when he was cast in the lion's den. But God knew he could see both the beginning and the end. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, "I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So God is eternal. In reflection on that, Andrew has already pointed out to us that with that, God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is holy. Psalm 99 verse 9 says, "Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." To define holiness, or what is it to be holy, it means simply to be separate from sin. God is holy, he is separate from sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "Since it is written, You shall be holy, for I am holy. Therefore, being holy, God cannot have sin in his presence." The definition of sin is translated as to miss the mark or to come short of the standard. In the Bible, we have the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament tells us of the law to teach us God's standard. We find an example of this in the Ten Commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ paraphrased this by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." The more we understand the law and God's standard, the more we realise we have missed the mark and have sinned. Just as it is, as to be holy means to be separate from sin, so sin separates us from God, for God is holy. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory or the standard of God." Romans chapter 3 verse 19 says that all the world has been shown by the law to be guilty before God. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages or the penalty of our sin is death or eternal separation from God. So we see in the Old Testament how the law teaches us of our need in relation to God, for God is holy and we cannot meet the mark or the standard that he has set before us. The New Testament tells us of God's love displayed in the story of his plan to save us from our sin and bring us into fellowship with him. God's love is shown to us in his mercy and his grace. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve, but grace is receiving that we do not deserve. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God has proved his love for us by giving us a gift. This gift is his Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, some of the most well-known verses in the Bible. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I noticed particularly this afternoon when I was reading through this, that it almost repeats itself. It says twice that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4 verses 7 to 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God created man and placed him upon the earth that he might have fellowship with him. It really struck me last year, I was talking to the kids at Kids Club, and we were talking about, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And it really struck me, something that was so simple, and yet I'd never really dwelt upon it. The earth was created by God, principally for us to dwell on. God specially made the earth that we might dwell in it. And he created us that we might have fellowship with him. In Genesis we read how God walked in the Garden of Eden to visit Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. This fellowship was spoiled by sin. Thus, we were separated from God. Yet God has provided forgiveness of our sins in the sacrifice of his only Son, that we might be able to approach him again. Andrew's already plainly spoken to us this evening and told us of the need for our acceptance of this sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has made in our place. Just as sin has separated us from God, and the penalty of that sin is death, the Lord Jesus was able to pay that on the cross at Calvary. But as we've already been already heard this evening, that is not enough. It is up to us to accept it personally, to make it our own. God has offered us a gift. Have we received it? Have we thanked Him for it? Have we made it good to ourselves? 1 day, God is going to take His children to be with Him forever. God is eternal. And we started off by speaking how God pre-existed before creation. And one day He's going to take His children to be with Him forever. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where there won't be sin. He will provide for His children bodies that aren't subject to sin. Bodies that are perfect. So very simply, we've looked at God as being eternal. God who is holy, and God who is love. What does it mean to each and every one of us? Can we truly say in our hearts that we have experienced God's love and know the outcome of it?